Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
The shenanigans continue. This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
All right, don't reset the phones there with a break for the random question. Question, call back if you were on hold, 206-803-ROCK. In the meantime, I'll give you guys a random question. What would you guys say is the worst team? The worst team, whether it be sports, school, work, that you've ever been on in your life?
Sports is easy.
Yeah, sports always come to mind. What do you got?
And it's just the way it happens, but just I was on a little league team once in A League of like my area.
Yeah.
Right. So I played like for my Catholic school, play Babe Ruth, and then College Park had like CYO, like whatever you call that.
The equivalent of, right.
Right. So I played, I think it was my first or second, it might have been my second year. A ball is like the top level, right? We're playing on the big field. We sucked so bad that I had to lead off because nobody else could really hit. And then we had to hope for a couple pass balls to get me to third base. And the guy in second could maybe lay down a bunt or hit. I mean,
no one could hit.
Nobody could hit. They could hit the backside of a barn. It was awful.
Actually, man, the worst team. And I mean, there's plenty of stuff in high school where someone slacks on this, that, or the other. But honestly, man, those sports guys. Sure, we were on to Baltimore. And listen, I just want to be clear. The two dudes we worked with, very, very, very hard workers, knew their S inside and out. However, we did a radio show, so at some point you would just think maybe you say something entertaining. They did not have a dinner, man. And like I said, I like these guys. They actually taught me a lot. They worked very hard. But the show itself, and it was 5 hours, man, 6 p.m. to 11 p.m., so... It just, but 5 hours there is like dog years. So it felt like, 35 hours of this show to the point that we had to go to the bosses. So we started at
they
six.
Weren't a good team. It wasn't a good team on air. They were nice guys. Like as a
They're
team,
great.
It was fine.
Yes. All of that, man. It's like these guys at practice, they should be on the All-Star team, right? I mean, unquestionably, with anyone I have worked with in this industry, these guys worked harder than anyone. And then the mics opened. And you're like, guys, this is the part that anyone cares about. And it was just so dry and bad to the point we basically, me, Ted, and another guy negotiated with the boss. Is like, can you please give us 1 hour in the middle of the show to do something that is not what we're doing, right? And so, so dry. It was watching paint dry. And look, man, I'm a huge Baltimore Ravens fan, right? There's no question about it. These guys found a way to talk about the Ravens, and I lost interest. I mean, that's all, right? I mean, like, I love that team. I will bleed purple. They would talk about them. I'm like, I don't care.
Me, you, and Sizz, I remember being in a conversation where it was like this time of year. And it was like NBA Finals.
This time of year.
They were like,
this time of year.
We're not going to talk about NBA Finals. They wanted to go over the Ravens compensatory picks.
Compensatory draft.
Or, yeah.
I never even heard of that. Two guys brought that up.
I never heard of that. No, until you guys told the story.
I never even heard of that.
It's a five-hour show, and this guy broke down the compensatory draft. But beyond that, he explained how it works, all the moves, and I'm like, again, I'm a Ravens fan. Keep in mind, NBA Finals is in full swing. NHL Finals, they're either starting or have just ended. Either way, they're like, we don't want to talk about that. We want to talk about the Ravens. I'm like, I love talking about the Ravens, but you do understand that in May, there's nothing to talk about, guys. They weren't even doing OTAs yet. There's nothing.
Yeah, yeah.
Nothing going on. And so, like I said, they were very hard workers, but Jesus Christ, listening to them on the air. And then...
And this is the era of, like... Like Kobe and Shaq and the Lakers.
They didn't want to talk about it. Every cool thing happening in sports, in any of the major leagues, was kind of happening at this time. They just wouldn't touch it, man. And it killed me because I was doing a different show later than them. And I always remember thinking, I'm so glad I'm not on the show because it's so bad. And then one day I came into work and they're like, hey, we fired the dude you're working with. You got to host this show. And it almost felt like a punishment. Technically, it was a promotion. But in my mind, I'm like, guys. They suck, man.
But I would say this, too. 5 hours is just too long.
Yes.
Right? Like, we've been doing this show for a while. It moves along. Trust me. When you hear me say this, you don't want to hear us have to do a fifth hour every
time. No.
It would get boring. No. We would not care as much. Like, so doing 5 hours on a tiny sports station where we basically talked about one thing minus that free-for-all hour, it was tough.
As far as jobs go, the leader of the BKU that I went to, not a good team leader.
You have so much bitterness.
Not a good communicator, not a good boss, not a good motivator. But I did work on a morning show at one point in time, and the boss that was there at the time was not the same guy that hired me.
All right.
But he wanted to pair me up with somebody else. So he brings in his own guy. Now, when that happens, typically it's not that you're playing favorites, but you wanted this guy there. So he puts us both together. Now, he wasn't the greatest boss in the world, but he really liked this guy, but did not know a lot about him. So this guy had a huge drug problem. I know, shocking in radio, right? But I'm talking drugs. Like, he was...
If a person in radio says you have a huge drug problem, you do.
So when you crack the mic, it's 6 o'clock. No kidding. 4 out of 5 days, he would get there by 6:45.
6:45.
He was there 45 minutes into the show, and he comes strolling
in. This is a morning show.
Yes, he comes strolling in.
And there's only two of you.
After a while, he just stopped making excuses. But he was constantly rolling on OxyContin.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So the Oxy, like, he would just sit there and scratch and do all these weird things. Like, we would be in studio, and he had a cigarette, you know, in his fingers at all times. And just sit there and kind of, like, pretend to smoke. Until a commercial break.
You didn't need a cigarette so bad that you put a dry-ass cigarette in your mouth.
In your hand. Yeah, and he was just...
I mean, I'm a smoker. I've never been that bad.
But the boss didn't care. Like, he was like, it didn't matter. And he really wasn't that entertaining.
I said, was the guy any good on air?
He later got fired numerous times from different radio shows for doing really dumb stuff. Like, he went and he tried to attack Opie and Anthony on the air. This did not work out well for him at all.
No,
that was a massive show.
That was a big show. But that was the kind
of guy. And they would fight back.
But that was the kind of guy he was. He thought that radio meant, like, I'm going to call the guy across the street a pee.
Right.
Like, okay, well, you still need to have an entertaining show. Like, if that's your only shtick, it's trying
that
to,
that was
like,
big, man. Late 90s, early 2000s.
And he was like, that was part of his whole thing. Like, that's how he learned radio. And he worked at the same place Ricker did. So, at one point in time in Florida. And they all had
this. Is who I think it is.
Well, yeah, they all this mentality of kind of like a Bubba the Love Sponge mentality, which we brought him up last week. But it's a very aggressive style.
Yeah, very much. Grease Man, Bubba, Howard
Stern was too big to need to pick on anybody.
Right.
Like, he would never talk down to somebody about their job on the air. Now, early on he did. With Don Imus and things like that when he was starting out.
Howard never shied away from that.
But he very rarely after time do people want to fight Howard Stern.
Yeah, he just didn't.
But this guy would if he could. Like, he was just one of those guys. So eventually we were both let go.
Him and Mancow had a memorable one.
Yes, they did.
Yeah.
They did. I forgot all about that, too.
I remember meeting Mancow. That was
that was fun.
He was a decent guy, but just at the time we met this guy Mancow, somewhat legendary. The only thing you could possibly read about radio was about Mancow. So when Miles and I met him, one, we're already hammered. But we just laid into this dude. Oh, it's freaking the legendary effing man cat. So
then I spilled a beer all over.
But he was friends with our boss at the time. So at some point that the two of them set off, and our boss came back and said, Mancow wanted to know if I was mad at him for introducing me to you two. Yeah.
What did I do?
Yeah, he's dead serious. Did I do something?
Raise my ass.
To his credit, he did hold his own in Chicago.
Oh, yeah.
He did.
Oh,
he's legendary. Never he's got legendary.
As big as a grip on that city as he wanted.
No, absolutely. No. But credit to him, just when we met him. Yeah. At that time, like, F you.
Yeah, when you talk about Chicago, you're talking about a city with 25 radio legends.
Yeah.
You know, when you're talking about Seattle, and this is no disrespect, just Chicago radio has been around for a long, long time. You know, you've got your Bob Rivers here. You got your, you know, there's a number of people who've come through this city that are big time.
Now, Chicago probably.
But Chicago is probably the biggest in radio, even bigger than New York. As far as just...
Definitely bigger than New York.
The legendary only broadcasters.
Could be L.A., but everyone on the radio in L.A. at the time was trying to get on TV. So they were good, yeah, but... Right. It was Ryan Seacrest. Nothing against Ryan Seacrest, but he's not interesting. He was just very good at giving you top 40 news and stuff, where Chicago, New York, they were like, F you, yeah, we are here.
Like WLS, news stations, talk shows, sure. You know, Charles Lacordaire. When all these guys were big-time guys, Mancow was bigger than all of them.
Yeah, he was huge.
I mean, at that time.
And we insulted the living piss out of that man.
The Rage Mass, what is the worst team you've ever been a part of? Sports, school, work, the Colorado Rockies continue to make the worst kind of history. Yesterday afternoon... The Rockies lost for the 50th time in 59 games this season.
So keep in mind, it's early June. You've lost 50 games already.
Yes. The 5-3 loss to the Mets, that was their 8th straight loss. Their 13th loss in the last 14 games. So you thought the White Sox were bad. They're now on pace to go 25-137. They became
25 games in an entire baseball season that you're scheduled to win.
The Rockies became the first team in baseball's modern era since 1901 to reach 50 losses before 10 wins.
Oh, geez.
Now, the last team to reach 50 losses before 10 wins was, of course, you know this, the 1884 Kansas City Cowboys.
Oh, yeah, of course.
They used to be a Cowboys fan.
They started this
season. So they left us. Kansas City.
750-2. They had two ties. 1884, that was the only year that they were in operation. They disbanded after that season because they were so bad. Incompetence, they say, is the single biggest reason the Rockies are where they are.
Yeah, what else would it be?
To lose this many games, you need to be very bad and also very unlucky. You have to play poorly, and almost every break needs to go against you. They managed to do this. That happened to the White Sox last year. It's even worse this year for the Rockies. Colorado has a minus 185 run differential.
Jesus.
They have been outscored by 3.1 runs per game on average. They have lost all 19 series they played this year, have lost an MLB record 22 consecutive series dating back to last season.
Wow, man. That's horrible. Really, really bad.
That's horrible. You know what? To be honest with you, until you put this on my desk, I had no idea.
I didn't realize it was that bad. And I just remember last year was the White Sox, right? And then I saw, like, dude, how bad can a team be? And then I saw that this morning. I'm like, you're worse than the White Sox that, if I remember correctly, were historically bad last year.
They were. Yeah. They were the worst team in decades.
And here's the thing. You're not a little bit worse than the White Sox. The White Sox would have if this year's Rockies played last year's White Sox, well, the White Sox would win every series at least. Mm-hmm. That's not a compliment.
Yep. Check.
God damn, man.
I'm trying to think of other, like, crappy teams. There's plenty of times you play, like, yard sports where you're just like...
Yeah, the person you're stuck with.
Yeah.
Is really, like, really...
God damn,
really,
man, you suck at this.
But think about stuff like the Prem League in England, right?
Yeah.
So if you suck, you get bumped down. You get relegated.
Correct. The bottom three get relegated.
Imagine if U.S. sports did that, all right? So, like, the Detroit Lions, the Cincinnati Bengals, they're currently good teams. They'd have been bumped probably, what, 25, 30 years ago?
Oh, yeah.
Honestly,
well, as far as relegation goes,
like,
probably.
They're
yeah.
good well, now, but Detroit was so bad for so long, they would have been gone. The Buccaneers, they'd have been relegated probably by
baseball's
the first
the
20
one
years.
Sport in America that you'd have to kind of fix the rosters, keep them kind of the same. But it's the one sport in America you could do it in because you already have the other stadiums.
You have stadiums,
right?
And you have affiliates.
So, like, right, exactly. So, like, I've always said all the time, it'd be wild if the Mariners were terrible and then they got demoted or relegated and then. Tacoma was your major league ball club.
So then they sort of kicking ass.
I don't know the name of the Rainier Stadium right now, but you're down there. It's a thirsty Thursday, and it's like, we're watching the Red Sox. As it happens in the Premier League, that's what makes it so cool. Some of those stadiums that come on board for Premier League are tiny.
Right.
They have to add like seating and stuff to be up to board.
Because it was a tiny time. I'm telling you, man, if they did that with U.S. sports, you wouldn't question if an owner cares, right? If you own a team in the NFL, like, so Jacksonville, historically awful team, it doesn't matter if people go to the games or not. Like, they make billions of dollars hand over fist. But if you said, look, man, you guys have one more losing season, your ass, you're getting punted down. I promise you that team would improve overnight.
It would. Yeah, but that's why it won't happen in the NFL, because you revenue share.
Uh-huh.
Like, that's how Green Bay exists. That's how some of these smaller...
Buffalo, Green Bay.
Right. Like, they wouldn't have other major... They wouldn't have other sports, right? And I think a lot of people forget about that. Like, the NFL, to their credit, they give back to the little clubs. But you see the spending with, like, Cincinnati or, like, maybe Arizona, where it's like, I don't know where they're not spending the money, but it's hard to be that bad for that long.
That consistently, right.
Correct.
Actually, I was talking to someone recently who went to Green Bay for the draft. They're like, man, my first NFL draft, chance to see Lambeau Field.
Look nice, look cool.
Yeah, and they were like, it was awesome until the draft was done for the day. What do you mean? I said, man, it's Green Bay, Wisconsin. Like, there's literally nothing to do. So the way they explained it,
there's not a bar. There's not a Packers place.
There's probably only a handful.
But you're bringing in 80,000 people from outside of the Green Bay area. Like, these bars are not equipped to do it. So I'm like, well, what do you do? And he goes, one, you couldn't even find a hotel room.
You don't drive to Madison or something. You don't stay there.
A lot of people did that, but he said it's a pain in the ass if you had, like, the full package. So you're going Thursday, Friday, Saturday, right? So if you're going 3 days, which this person did.
And I think Milwaukee's, like, 90 minutes.
It's not terrible, but again, he says it's 90 minutes when you don't have 60,000 people driving from one place to the other. You're all going to Green Bay, so he's like, I never parked in a parking lot. I parked in people's yards, but kind of like we say with Preakness in Baltimore, they had the signs up like, hey, man, you can park here. Did not charge. The equivalent of a bar for him. He said the people in Green Bay are super nice. So basically, the way it went down, before and after the draft coverage at the stadium, you're walking back to your car, he's like, they're throwing down because everyone's in their town. So there'd be like 50 people at a backyard barbecue or something like that, and they simply invited you in.
Because that
was the experience. He goes, but at some point, you got to stop drinking, and then you got to go to bed, and, you know, another hour and a half drive to wherever. And I'm like, was it that bad? He's like, the draft was cool, but he said everything else around it, and nothing wrong with Green Bay other than it is not built to accommodate that many people from out of town at one time.
Yeah. When I was six or seven, so my dad lived in Florida. He lived in Tampa. And Tampa just got a team along with the Seattle Seahawks.
All right.
So, but when I would go down there, I would spend the summers with my dad. And, you know, when you're down there in August, he'd take me to the Big Sombrero. We'd go to a preseason game. It's the Vikings or whoever the deal was. But they were new. I mean, they were brand new.
Mm-hmm.
The town is fired up about this football team. I, at the time, did not really have a football team.
Sure.
So my dad, you know, buys me shirts, jackets, blankets. You know, you go through the Sears catalog.
The equivalent of a high-vis.
They have curtains you can buy. You can buy Tampa Bay gym bag. You can buy anything from any one of the 28 teams at the time. And
yeah, they bumped up to 28, right?
You can buy little helmets. Trust me. If there was a Tampa Bay thing, I got it as a present or I got it as something down there. So I'm wearing this creamsicle crap.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm a Tampa Bay fan. They didn't win a game the first year, I'm pretty sure. All right? Maybe they did, but I do.
They lost every game with the exception of one, I believe this is correct, for the first two seasons. And the one team they beat, I wanted to say it was the Seahawks because the Seahawks are the other expansion team. But again, if I remember this correctly, the Seahawks beat them their first
year. Now, listen, they did not have a bad team. They got a coach.
What?
They got, look, on paper.
They won a game. They won one game in two seasons.
On paper.
Sure.
This is a great team. You got John McKay, who is a Rose Bowl winning coach from USC.
Yeah.
All right. He's the guy that they bring in.
Yeah.
You've got the Selman brothers. You got Dewey and Leroy. You've got Doug Williams. You've got Ricky Bell. You've got all these players. Like, it wasn't the worst team on paper when you look back at it.
Eventually, not on paper.
They got like Hugh Green. They got a bunch of guys, you know, but they just sucked.
They were terrible.
I'm the guy that's wearing all that stuff every day just getting my balls busted because I live near Pittsburgh. So all the Steelers fans, they're rolling off
their heyday.
74 Super Bowl, the the Bicentennial, Super Bowl. I mean, how many times did they beat the Cowboys? Three, four?
Two, I think.
Whatever.
At that time, two, I believe.
It was like they were like the world champions. Everything was like, so man, I got it just absolutely handed to me by every uncle, every cousin, every friend of mine, every teacher in school. Like, they didn't even know Tampa was a team yet.
Right.
Like, what is that crap? That's the ugliest color scheme I've ever seen. And that team sucks. Like, who would pick the worst team in the NFL to root for? I'm like, me.
I did.
Yeah. I really did, man. Everything I had. I had a bed sheet that was Tampa Bay. If you walked into my room, it's like orange, creamsicle, and red.
Dude, my buddy's kid, what is she, six or whatever? Like, last year, we kind of got her into watching Husky football, or yeah. 2 years ago, when they just didn't lose during the regular season. And she still struggles with the fact they actually lose.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's yeah, just the first year you remember they never lost right. until the championship game.
More of the random question coming up, 206-803-ROCK.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of casino-style games like bingo, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. T&Cs apply.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's RADIO15 for 15% off today.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Your guess is as good as mine. Cut out of 430, the category is the greatest guitarist of all times and Fortune 500 companies. We'll play your guess is as good as mine right after emails on our random question, 206-803-ROCK.
An interesting text just came in. We were talking about radio earlier, right? Different people worked in radio, Howard Stern, Mancow, etc. So, somebody texted in, and this is an interesting point to me. It says, I was listening to Mancow on the morning of 9/11, and I thought it was just a poorly thought-out bit until I heard him choke up. Well, I hopped out of the shower, turned on the TV just in time to see the second tower get hit. So he thought Mancow was doing a bit, didn't realize it was a new thing. One of the things I remember about 9/11, because it was like all hands on deck, so they called us all into work, no problem. And what was crazy to me, all of the major news, whether it is cable or network, right? They're trying to figure out what's going on, what's happening. That's when Howard Stern basically showed them how to do broadcasts. Because at the heart of what we do is that if the S hits the fan, we're here to tell you.
Yep.
Hopefully, nothing horrible is going on, and we can entertain. So 9/11 happens, and you name the news outlet, right? It could be Fox, it could be CNN, it could be ABC, MSNBC, any one of them. It was the Howard Stern Show has confirmed. Like, this became
he was on it first.
But up until that point, you know, all those same news channels, all they did was, I mean, just rake him over the coals because he's this, he's that. And then when the S hit the fan, you realize he is significantly better at your job than you are. Right?
He did all the stupid stuff
and all that. But then when the S hit the fan, this guy coordinated all of his people to go out there and get information. He became the de facto place to get information. What drove me nuts was I just remember watching all of these different talking heads and newscasters, and it's people you recognize, but they would begin their little spiel with, the Howard Stern Show has confirmed. And I'm thinking, this is where we're at now. Just yesterday, you guys were talking smack on this guy. Now today, you realize he actually knows how to do what you guys pretend to do. Fantastic.
Wow. Yeah, that's crazy. Here's a weird one I found out after the fact. So I was on the air that morning as well, and I had a buddy that was going to come down and see me. My buddy, old high school or college roommate, and he worked as a trader in Manhattan.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you know anything about that world, you work for a firm for a couple of years, and either you get promoted or get another firm wants you. So
right.
You bounce around early on as far as the jobs go. So I wasn't exactly sure where Chris, my buddy, worked. What I did know was that he was going to come down in a few days to Baltimore because Cal Ripken Jr., he was coming to the close. He was going to break his streak.
Those were right around each other, yeah.
Chris and I were going to go to not the last game, not the game where he broke it, but like 2 days before. That was the idea. So, and then from there, he was going to go back to West Virginia, visit some friends, blah, 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 blah. Go to a Mountaineer football game. So I know he works up there. That morning, I keep trying to call him. And the phone rang about six times. So I got through six times. The phone rang. It went to voicemail.
Yeah.
So I was like, dude, call me. Let me know what the hell's going on up there. We need to get you on the air now because you can give a live report from this. Right?
Sure.
Okay. Well, I did not work. At the time, I did not know that he worked for Cantor Fitzgerald. All right. So he didn't make it. But a few years
ago. Was he in Tower 1 or 2?
You know what?
Because I feel like Cantor Fitzgerald is the one name I heard the most.
They were way higher. So, yeah. Like, they were above, I think, the plane.
Damn.
So, their office was above the plane. But anyway, and again, not sure which one of those it was. But, so, I also knew his fiance very well. And the family, I knew his brother, met his dad a couple times, roommate-wise. You're dropping crap off. Hi, sure, it's my mom and dad, you know what I mean? They're going to drive back to New Jersey, blah, 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 blah. But a few years later, when I saw Kelly again, she said, you know, we were able to get Chris's phone records, and you were the only person who got through, and you were the only person, because they got him from like Verizon or AT&T,
yeah.
You were the only person who was able to leave a voice message. She's like, I tried to call him all morning, and I could not get through. For some reason, your phone call from Baltimore went through.
Really?
And so she's like, the last recording, the only voicemail that he had that he did not delete was the three messages that you left him.
Damn.
On that phone. And I was like, that's crazy that phone line from Baltimore, it was a studio line, somehow got through on his phone through all that crap. So that was, to me, that was wild. I was like,
kind of haunting too, man.
It was just strange. Like, that was the phone that actually worked. So I was like, wow, that's some crazy crap.
Random.
Hello,
random,
Rafe. Random, welcome to the men's room. Random.
What's up, bitches?
All right, what do we got for you? Random. Let me ask you a question. Do you have a garage?
No.
You do not have a garage. I'll ask you a different question then. I knew that was going to be tough because a lot of people don't have garages.
I have a garage. There's no cars in it.
Yeah.
But there's a garage.
Okay.
That's a shop.
What would you say is your strangest sleeping experience? The weirdest thing that either woke you up, where you were sleeping, what you woke up to. What was just one of the weird things you remember about a sleep experience?
Okay, all right. How about sleeping in the airport in Milan, Italy, and I woke up to a homeless man with no pants on staring at me?
Oh, wait. Damn.
You were still in the airport when this guy had no pants on?
Yeah, and it was just me and him. It was very strange.
Did he have pants with him? I mean, in other words, was he just pantsless, or had he taken them off, or what's the situation?
It seemed to be no pants Wednesday. I don't know what was going on.
And this is at an airport.
Yeah, very empty. If you've been to the airport, it's kind of small, kind of funky. So it was intimate, to put it lightly.
where were you flying to?
Flying back home to Tacoma.
Okay. And so did you say anything to this guy? Could he communicate with you?
Well, I don't speak Italian. He didn't speak English, but I think we said enough just with our gaze.
Yeah, it's probably understood.
Hmm.
And what do you think he was trying to tell you? Like, hey, want some?
Yeah, what was his look saying?
Oh, it might have been something helpful. Like, hey, buddy, your flight's in 10 minutes. They're boarding. I don't know.
Right. But he had no pants on.
Like, excuse me, are you racist? They're calling your name at gate 7.
No underwear.
Yeah, absolute buck.
God. And there was nobody there to say, hey, guy, what are you doing?
Nope, just me, but I didn't say it.
I mean, other than that, did he seem weird?
He seemed strange, weirdly relaxed about the whole scenario.
Then that's weird. Yeah. I mean, that's...
were you worried that something maybe happened when you were sleeping and you didn't know it?
I did. I did a quick orifice check. It was all good.
Did you check your breath?
Yes, it is. Yeah. I had a slight, it was a little funky, but I think that was just me not brushing my teeth.
Munja.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Right.
Not the answer I expected.
No, me neither. Jeez,
I want to say the weirdest one for me was in New Orleans, man. And I've told this before, but I'd get up, or I'm working at Commander's Palace restaurant. That's like the place to work. I don't recommend it to anyone, but that's where I worked. I worked the lunch shift, but you got to be there. I think you had to be there at 6 a.m., whatever, but I'm getting up early. And I hear something in my apartment, which is weird. It was a one-bedroom place, and I feel like I hear something in the living room, but it's not particularly loud, right? So I'm sleeping naked at the time, and I walk into my living room, and I just see like 5 or 6 flashlights and silhouettes of people, but no lights are on or anything. So I'm just like, hey! And all these flashlights whip around instantly. They're all focused on me, and I realize it's cops. And the guy's, because I have my hands over my junk, right? And the guy says, hey, show us your hands. And I'm like, no. I said, dude, I'm naked. You can see. I'm naked. You got the flashlight. Like, I'm not doing that. And then they start talking to me like, why are you here? I'm like, I freaking live here. I was like, dude, I just woke up. I hear people in my living room. Here you are. And as I'm talking to them, they have the door to my apartment open. And I see the one cop or detective in the back keeps looking down the stairwell outside of the door. And it turns out the guy that lives across the hall is now walking up the stairs. Now, the guy who's walking up the stairs is completely hammered out of his mind. And he was a dead ringer for Kid Rock. That is exactly what they did not dress the same. But, I mean, physically, his appearance was exactly like Kid Rock. And so he's stumbling up the stairs, ricocheting off of the walls. And all the cops are now telling him to stop. Stop. F you, man. F you. And when I hear his voice, I realize who it is. I'm like, God, do not shoot this guy because they don't know who he is. They just think he's going to attack the cops in spite of the condition he's in. Now, keep in mind, I'm naked during this time. So now I got 6 cops, my naked ass. I'm standing in the hallway now. And I'm like, do not shoot this guy. He lives across the hall. Well, as Kid Rock gets to the top of the stairs, like flipping off the cops. And again, he's hammered. He kind of just walks by the cops, walks into my place. I understand his door is directly across from mine, but he walks into my place, collapses on my sofa. Well, the cops are still there, and passes the F out. And I'm like, you have got to be kidding me, man. All I want to do is go. I don't even want to go to work, but it's what I need to do, right? So the cops are there. I'm still standing there naked. Well, now my hands are on my hips because I'm just pissed because this guy's snoring on my couch. The cops are still in my place. I'm like, why are you here? So the short version is we lived above a bar, which if you live in New Orleans is not out of the question. The silent alarm at the bar had been triggered. They went there first, but there was no signs of entry. Must be an inside job, blah, blah, blah. Well, Kid Rock, who's now passed out on my couch, sawing logs, he was the closing bartender at the bar. So my assumption is either he misset the alarm, forgot his, it's an innocent thing, right? He is piss drunk. He's the guy that runs the bar. He lives upstairs. So I'm explaining this to the cops. And they said, well, we still need to go down and check the place. And I'm like, I can't be a help to you. I don't work at the bar. I do not have a key. The guy that has the key is sleeping on my goddamn sofa. I don't know what to do. Well, eventually the cops leave. All right. They figure, all right, well, we'll figure it out on our own. You go do what you got to do. So now my naked ass is standing there like, this is how I wake up today. Kid Rock. I'm trying to wake him up. There's no chance of that happening. Finally, I just get dressed. I go to work. Right? There's nothing I can do. I get home. Kid Rock is no longer in my apartment. Well, when I see him that night at the bar, I just have this look on my face, and he's like, dude, did we party last night? I'm like, no, we did not party
last night. He goes,
why'd I wake up on your sofa? I'm like, do you honestly not remember anything? And you kind of see that concerned look on his face. He's like, what did I do, man? I was like, I don't know what you did most of the night. I prevented you from being shot in the chest when you were coming up the stairs yelling at the cops. Why was I yelling at the cops? I was like, because the cops were there, you were hammered, and you decided to yell at them. I said, they asked you to stay where you were. He goes, for real? I said, bro, they had their guns drawn and flashlights on you. You kept walking up the stairs like you were going to take them on or something. I knew that wasn't the case, so I had to convince them not to kill your ass. And I'm like, and then instead of going into your effing place, you walked into mine and passed out on my sofa. He's like, dude, I'm so sorry. I said, no, look, it's not a huge deal. I just prefer not to wake up. Bro, at that time in my 20s, trust me, it's not a huge deal. My issue is, I'm like, I had to deal with these guys for like 20 minutes, mostly because of you. I had to talk them down from killing you. And I was naked the whole time. Like, why were you naked? I'm like, because I just got out of bed. I'm like, this was not a plan. Bro, I got out of bed. There's cops in my place. I got flashlights on me. Then your dumbass is coming home, stumbling up the stairs. I had to tell them not to shoot you. Then you pass out my place. I'm trying to wake you up. Were you naked when you're trying to wake me up? Yes, I was naked when I was trying to wake you up. I'm so sorry to have impositioned you here, man. But he's like, yeah, dude, I woke up. I had no idea. Why is that your place? Just figured we party. And I'm like, nothing like that, bro. I'm like, whatever you did, Jesus. You did on your own. But yeah, you almost got killed by the cops.
Recently, we asked, what is your strangest sleeping experience? They say falling out of bed is usually more embarrassing than life-threatening. Assuming you're sleeping a couple feet off the floor and not on the edge of a cliff. A few weeks ago, someone set up a cliff bed in China. Have you guys seen a picture of this?
No.
Is that when people are like hanging off the side of a mountain?
That a sheer straight wall.
Yeah. Right. And they like post in all their like the bed and everything.
But I assume they're doing that because they are hiking and you need to stop for the day.
No. This is for thrill seekers.
Come on.
You get a chance to sleep on a bed that's perched 330 feet off the ground. So
cool.
If I was trying to, I don't know, climb El Capitan.
Yeah.
There is a good chance, okay?
I'm looking at the picture of it. No.
Hell no.
That I need to stop along the way because I'm not going to...
That is understood.
I'm not going to get there in 2 hours. I need to take a moment. So a lot of those guys, when they're climbing, they do it in stages and they actually stay up there. So guess how much this costs to spend the night in China?
You could give me a couple grand.
$13.50.
That's kind of cheap.
Yeah. Hopefully you won't fall. They do have a safety harness the whole time. And apparently it's even safe enough for kids. You can be as young as 14 to do it.
No.
Though Myers...
All right, a teenager I could fathom. When you said kids, I was like, you want a kid to die?
My kids are 13 or 14 and a half, and just from top of them, no.
You also don't stay in the bed overnight. There's a mattress and a duvet, and you get a cup of, quote, morning cliffside coffee. But it's mostly just set up for a brief photo opportunity. So instead of really spending the night there, they just put you on this bed. You act like you're sleeping. You act like you're drinking your coffee, which you are. And they,
I mean, I haven't fallen off a bed in years, but I feel like I roll around too much to take that risk.
Jesus, man.
Yeah, I could not do that.
We had army bunk beds at the Boy Scout camp where I worked, and these were no rails.
Yeah.
The mattresses were rounded, and it was a concrete floor, man. And you would hear people taking headers at least once a week. I took two headers.
Did you?
Oh, yeah. And we, as much as you try to think, we can push this bed up against the wall. This won't happen again. The next thing you know, you just hear, in the middle of the night, like, oh, no, Brett, that's not good. One more story. If someone says they're not into you, this probably isn't the best way to win them over. A guy in California is facing charges after he broke into a woman's home and woke her up by sucking on her toes.
Mm.
Now, this happened May 21st near Modesto, which is about 90 miles east of San Fran. 27-year-old Christian Anguiano had allegedly been harassing the woman for months. Basically, he was stalking her. So he'd followed her home from work and even slept outside her place in his car.
Jesus, man.
Two Wednesdays ago, she wakes up around midnight to find him at the edge of her bed with her toes in his mouth. And that he tried to get in bed with her. She pushed him away, called 911. He ran off. Now, cops did not find him that night, but tracked him down the next day in the same area. So he apparently tried to come back, even after the toe-sucking didn't go over like he maybe hoped it would. He is facing a lot of charges, burglary, stalking, sexual battery, and assault with intent to commit a felony.
What do you honestly think is going to happen when
that's ridiculous.
Woman wakes up and you're sucking her toes?
Random.
Hello, Andy. Welcome to the men's room. Random.
Good afternoon, you marvelous afternoon show members.
Oh, Andy, what's happening? Welcome to Random Question. Let's go with this one. Andy, have you ever had one of those situations where you're like, ooh, this is not good? I'm not sure if I'm going to be around much longer. Have you ever been in one of those situations where you're like, oh, God, this might be the last day I'm alive?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
Oh, do tell.
Can you tell us about it?
Well, I was in college, and I had an old pickup truck that you had to start by jumping the starter. And a friend of mine had borrowed it, so I went and jumped the truck, and it started. He'd left it in gear, and it started moving, and it pinned me between a brick wall and my truck, broke my leg.
Jesus.
I had to lean forward and disconnect the coil. It was a points type ignition. Disconnect the coil and push the truck off of me, and then fall to the ground. I thought I was going to die. It hurt so bad.
Was there a chance you might? Was there a chance you might lose your leg?
Well, I thought it was because it instantly swelled up to the size of my pant leg and then some. Ooh. But apparently, I just gave it a really good straight fracture all the way through.
Damn. Okay.
That was that all? Okay.
Was there anyone there to help you?
No. The maintenance man from the building heard the truck hit the building and came upstairs to see what had happened. And that's when he found me laying on the ground in front of my truck.
Wow. Damn. Okay.
Wow, man. Yeah.
Did you get that fixed? Your truck?
Yes, I absolutely did. New ignition switch and a new starter.
All right. And how long were you out of commission on the leg?
I was out of commission on the legs for 6 weeks.
Damn. Okay. All right.
I mean,
reason we asked, when did you realize the situation was not good? Have you guys heard the story about the Chinese paraglider?
Yes.
And the equipment test that he had that, they say, turned extraordinary.
That's a bad term overall.
What's that?
Paraglider equipment test.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And terrifying.
Right? Just say it out loud.
So here's what happened. His harrowing a flight, captured on video, quickly became a viral sensation. Ping Yang was testing his equipment at about 10,000 feet above sea level, when a weather phenomenon known as a cloud suck lofted him another 16,000 feet. Ultimately, he was at the height of Mount Everest. Now, video footage, because he's recording, on his glider's camera, shows Ping's face and body encased in ice as he held onto the controls during the ordeal. He told the Chinese media group he became disoriented inside of a cloud, surrounded by white, with no clear sense of direction. Without the compass, I wouldn't have known which way I was going. I thought I was flying straight, but in reality, I was spinning. Our temperatures then got to minus 40 degrees Fahrenheit.
Jeez.
And extremely thin oxygen at that altitude. The risk was clear. Ping believes he may have briefly lost consciousness during his descent.
Probably.
And described regaining control of the glider as the most difficult part. So he fell asleep, basically passed out, then figured out how to get this thing straightened out.
Damn.
He's been paragliding for 4.5 years and is certified as a B-level paraglider. Chinese authorities say his,
A-level now, baby.
His flight was unauthorized, leading to a 6-month suspension. One more story real quick. Did you guys hear about the hiker who got trapped by a 700-pound boulder?
Briefly, yesterday.
On a remote trail in Alaska. Guy was 61 years old, out with his wife on a remote and undeveloped trail south of Anchorage. When he was caught in a rock slide after climbing an embankment, the boulder struck Morris's back as he tumbled 20 feet into a creek.
Jeez.
While he was in the creek, face down, the 700-pound boulder came down and landed on top of him. He's trapped in the freezing water and began to drift in and out of consciousness. Now, he is a former Alaska State Trooper. He spent around 30 minutes trying to free him. Then she hiked in search of an area where she could get a cell signal. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back. She got a signal about 300 yards away, called 911. They were eventually able to get there, and rescuers were able to roll the boulder off of him, pull him out of the creek to prevent him from drowning. Seven rescuers ultimately used airbags and brute force to lift the boulder enough to free Morris, who was then airlifted out by the Alaska National Guard.
Sounds fun.
Damn. Your guess is as good as mine. Count up the categories, the greatest guitarist of all times, and Fortune 500 companies. That's coming up with at 4:30, along with your emails on the way next, from the men's room at KISW.com.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.